That jacket Melania Trump wore with "I really don't care, do you?" emblazoned across the back, it wasn't just a political misstep. It was the perfect symbol of fashion's existential crisis. Made by Zara, the world's largest fashion retailer, mass-produced in developing countries, crafted from environmentally damaging materials, and designed for brief use before disposal, it encapsulated everything wrong with how we dress ourselves. Each morning as we select our clothes, we rarely consider their origins or impact. The numbers are staggering. Americans now purchase 68 garments annually, 5 times more than in 1980, with global acquisition reaching 80 billion items yearly. By 2030, we're projected to buy 63% more fashion, equivalent to 500 billion t-shirts. Meanwhile, fashion has made its titans enormously wealthy. In 2018, 5 of the world's 55 richest individuals owned fashion companies, while devastating both people and planet. Despite occasional scandals like Ralph Lauren's Chinese-made Olympic uniforms, consumers consistently choose lower prices over ethical production, with 67% preferring $50 offshore-made pants over $85 American-made alternatives. The Industrial Revolution in textiles began when Richard Arkwright opened the first water-powered textile mill in 1771. Workers endured grueling conditions in Manchester, which became Cottonopolis, the world's first major manufacturing center. Ready-to-wear clothing emerged during the American Civil War's demand for standardized uniforms. New York's Lower East Side became a garment hub due to its port location and immigrant workforce. By 1980, 70% of American clothing was still made domestically, until trade deals sparked widespread offshoring. Amancio Ortega revolutionized the industry through Zara's instant fashion model. Starting as an errand boy, he built an empire by reducing production cycles from 6 months to 5 weeks. After its 2001 IPO, Zara expanded to nearly 1,700 stores across 96 countries, becoming 4 times more profitable than competitors. This model transformed the industry. Global garment production doubled to 100 billion pieces between 2000 and 2014. While consumer prices rose 50%, clothing prices fell, driving a 60% increase in purchases. This rapid pace affected even luxury brands, leading Jean-Paul Gaultier to abandon ready-to-wear in 2015, declaring, "Too many clothes kills clothes." In Los Angeles's Fashion District, organizer Mariela Martinez fights wage theft in domestic sweatshops, where employers routinely pay below minimum wage. The complex supply chain allows brands to dodge accountability, while subcontractors evade consequences by closing and reopening under new names. Bangladesh epitomizes the garment industry's dark side. With 168 million citizens and widespread poverty, it became the world's second-largest apparel producer after China. Factory owners built thousands of unsafe facilities without permits, while government oversight remained weak. 10% of parliament members owned garment factories themselves. The 2013 Rana Plaza collapse killed 1,134 people and injured 2,500. Despite visible building cracks, workers were forced to return or risk losing their meager wages. Quality inspector Mahmoudul Hassan Ridoy and worker Sheila Begum, who earned just $38 monthly, were among the victims. Begum remained trapped for 16 hours, while Ridoy was pinned beneath concrete beside his fatally injured friend Faisal. 5 years later, Bangladesh's garment industry still struggled with anti-union policies, factory abuse, and violent suppression of wage protests. The industry's focus remained on profits rather than worker welfare. With 6 billion pairs produced annually, jeans are worn by half the world's population. Conventional cotton's environmental impact is severe. It uses 1/5 of global insecticides and 10% of pesticides while growing on just 2.5% of arable land. The water footprint is massive, 2,600 gallons per kilo of cotton and 5,000 gallons to process one outfit of jeans and a t-shirt. Before the 1980s, denim required months of wear to soften. Stonewashing revolutionized production, leading to industrial wash houses where jeans undergo chemical treatments and mechanical distressing to create artificial wear patterns. The human and environmental toll is stark. Vietnamese workers process 400 pairs daily without proper protection from denim dust. In Xintong, China's jeans capital, 3,000 factories produce 800,000 pairs daily. With defunct water treatment facilities, these operations dump dye waste directly into the East River, contaminating it with toxic levels of lead, copper, and cadmium. In Florence, Alabama, former cotton t-shirt capital of the world, designers Natalie Channon and Billy Reed are revitalizing a community hit hard by NAFTA. Channon's approach emphasizes local production, craftsmanship, and fair labor practices while embracing modern technology. Disturbed by overseas manufacturing conditions, Channon left New York and returned to Alabama to work with local quilters. Her production model employs independent contractors working from home, earning 25 to 50% of retail prices. Though producing just 120 garments daily, compared to former local factory outputs of $35 million annually, her $3 million revenue supports progress toward a $10 million goal. Billy Reed found similar success in slow fashion after losing his business when his financial backer withdrew post-9/11. Relocating to Florence in 2004, he adopted a direct-to-consumer model that allowed creative freedom, streamlined operations, and increased profits from 30 to 40% to 60 to 70% of retail prices. Right shoring, bringing manufacturing back from offshore locations, has emerged as a leading trend in fashion, with textiles and apparel ranking among the most reshored sectors in the U.S. Unlike traditional reshoring, this movement represents a tech-driven reinvention of domestic production. Technology is revolutionizing textile manufacturing into a more ethical, personalized industry with clean facilities and skilled tech workers. Innovations like Gina Loggia's system transforms denim production, lasers replace sandblasting, ozone provides natural fading, and eFlow's nanobubble washing reduces water usage by 90%. Modern Meadow grows animal-free leather alternatives, while Bolt Threads produces lab-grown spider silk. Evernew creates fiber from recycled cotton garments using 98% less water than virgin cotton. And Worn Again separates polyester from cotton in blended fabrics to recover virgin-quality materials. On-demand production points to fashion's future. Unmade enables factories to produce custom knitwear at industrial scale, eliminating excess inventory and waste. Software automations, SoBots, use computer vision to replicate human sewing with precision and speed. The fashion revolution requires our active participation through mindful buying, better garment care, repairs, material awareness, and support of ethical companies. Clothing rental offers a sustainable compromise, enabling fashion variety while extending garment life. Different stakeholders pursue varying approaches, from right shoring to slow fashion to seasonal collections, creating a complex challenge that demands multiple solutions to build a more equitable fashion ecosystem. Your daily clothing choices impact workers, communities, and the environment globally. By becoming conscious consumers who prioritize quality, ethics, and longevity, we can help transform fashion from an exploitative industry into a force for good. True style lies not in designer labels, but in knowing your clothes respect both their makers and the planet.